Welcome to this special crossover episode of both Academy Watch and Real Talk. I'm the host of Academy Watch, Bo Nicholson. On Academy Watch, we discuss Oscar-relevant films, and when it is award season, spend a bunch of time trying to predict the Oscars. With me is the host of Real Talk, Sam Stokes. Real Talk covers many of the films hitting the screens at your local cinema. Hi, Sam.
Bonjour, Bo. How are you doing, mate?
I am... That's a loaded question. That's a loaded question, my guy. It's early in the morning. Morning sickness is a thing, as regular listeners will know over here for me. And I didn't sleep well last night. It was one of those ones where, you know, like you wake up a bit and you go, what time is it? It's like 11:30. Okay. And then you like wake up again. It's like, oh, 12:30. Cool. Oh, 12:50. Oh, nice. You know, 3:50. Oh, good. You know, I love those sort of nights. And I think it was just excitement to talk about the Cannes Film Festival with you. I think that's what it was.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm in a similar-ish boat because I've had some pretty horrific jet lag. So, my brain has been a bit all over the place. But let's just pretend, why don't we, that we've just come back from Cannes. It's the day after we just flew back from Cannes and we're a bit weary from watching all the films and traveling, which isn't the case. I wish it was, but we can pretend.
Yeah. It's definitely about May 25th. And definitely not the 18th of June in your part of the world, 19th in mine. And we are definitely reacting to the myriad films that we saw at Cannes Film Festival. But alas, we didn't see that many. We have seen, or I've seen at least one, but that was not in competition. But yes, we are here to belatedly talk about the Cannes Film Festival, which has a way of shaping the film conversation for both of our podcasts, really. Real Talk gets to focus on a bunch of exciting movies coming out, and a bunch of those do show at Cannes Film Festival. A bunch of them have come out already, and it definitely shapes the Oscar conversation, as we saw last year with the Palme d'Or winning Anora taking out five Oscars. So, it's definitely one to keep an eye on for both of us. Speaking of the Palme d'Or, let's go straight there. The Palme d'Or is the top prize to win at Cannes Film Festival. For the people that somehow are listening to Real Talk or Academy Watch, and specifically an episode about the Cannes Film Festival, that don't know, the Cannes Film Festival is probably the most prestigious film festival in the world. And the top prize is the Palme d'Or, which is given to the top film in competition. There's also Uncertain Regard, Out of Competition. There's lots of different films that show, short films, documentaries, etc. The Palme d'Or went to an Iranian production, along with France and Luxembourg, directed by Jafar Panahi. It Was Just an Accident. It has a Metascore of 87. That means the critics have been really, really enjoying it. Sam, do you have much of a read on this film and how you... Did it surprise you that a film from Iran has managed to take out the Palme d'Or?
Not massively. I think there'd be a lot more surprising nations. You know, I don't know, just like Luxembourg or something, or Eritrea. You know, like, I think like...
Yeah.
Iran has a fairly healthy film history. There's quite a few Iranian films I really like. There's some fairly high-profile Iranian directors over the last few decades, certainly within the cinephile community. So that aspect isn't entirely surprising. I don't know much about this film, actually. Like, I've obviously read a few. I try not to read too much and get spoiled for things. I've read enough to know what's going on. I was fairly in when I read the phrase part thriller, part absurdist comedy. Okay, so yes. That sounds like my kind of film just by that little bit of brief genre description. Mm. And yeah, I think, you know, just mentioning Oscars, but I think Palme d'Or and Oscars kind of relevant. They have gone for a bit of comedy, a bit of absurdist comedy, a bit of like comedy and, right? So think about films like Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's like comedy and this other genre-bending stuff, and Anora is kind of comedy and, right? And I feel like that kind of comedy and is a bit of a winning formula for these. So I think this will probably go on and get more popularity in awards, and I think I'm probably going to like it quite a lot.
Yeah, it looks up my alley as well. It's hard to say with the lack of trailers and things like that out there. So, in terms of, well, some stats here include the fact that this was picked up by Neon and will be distributed by Neon. So, that means that we are very likely to see it. Mm-hmm. I remember last year, I was sitting there being like, 5 Neon films in a row have won the Palme d'Or. That's incredible. We'll never see it again. Now we've seen 6. So
incredible.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's 7 next year. Like, they've just got, and again, Neon aren't making these films. They're not producing these films, but they are, picking them up for distribution, which means that they're curation. Is off the chain at the moment, Neon. So that's that. You know, that includes Parasite, that includes Anatomy of a Fool, it includes Anora, Titan as well, another film that won the Palme d'Or. Honestly, at the Oscars, it's obviously any Oscar predictions are way too early to call.
Yeah,
but at this point, I think its best chance is in international feature in terms of a nomination, but. Honestly, it will depend on a few things. The big thing about Jafar Panahi is that I don't think Iran will put this forward as their film at the Oscars because he is persona non grata in that country. It's not going to have Iran's backing. So, it really depends on whether France or Luxembourg are going to take it on. I don't think France will.
No.
Winning the Palme d'Or might get it across the line and France might go in that direction, but France had the chance to do that with Titan. And did not. They had the chance to do that with Anatomy of a Fall and did not. They had the chance to do that with Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which did not win the Palme d'Or, but was a huge movie and did not. And in the case of Portrait and Titan, they went away with 0 Oscar nominations. So, I'm looking at this film and thinking there's a good chance. I mean, it could end up in Best Picture, Director, Screenplay, International. It has a 4 Oscar nominations kind of ceiling. But I honestly could see it getting 0. And it really will depend on politics. As I said, I don't think Iran's going to bite. So, do Luxembourg throw it in there as their picture and push it well enough, and Neon push it, and before you know it, it has an international nomination. Yeah, so reading the tea leaves very, very early, obviously. But I'm looking at a potential shutout here with 0 nominations, which is, you know, just one of those weird quirks of the Academy Awards.
Yeah, that future you described sounds like the one where it gets 0 is fairly likely, I would say. But it's very, very early. And first and foremost, I'm glad it's picked up by Neon because that means I'll see it. And and then I'll decide when I've seen it and I'll know how much I like it. And then I can decide how much I want it to feature at awards ceremonies and how much I think it should.
Yeah, exactly. And it is one of those, the good thing about Neon is that if they are going to make a play for the Oscars, that means we should see it hopefully January at the latest in our countries. And that's cool. That means that we can have an informed opinion out of it instead of speculating like we are right now. The next film I want to talk about is probably the one I'm most excited about. Sam. Hmm. It won the Grand Prix, which is the runners-up prize, essentially, at Cannes. It's a co-production of a lot of countries, Norway, France, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, UK. It's mostly a Norwegian film. Directed by Joachim Trier, it's Sentimental Value. Now, this is starring Renate Reinsve, Stellan Skarsgård, Elle Fanning, among others, has a Metascore of 89. The critics really, really lapped this one up at the festival. A lot of Oscar chances here. What's your read on this one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the read, isn't it? It's like it seems to be a critic's darling. And unlike the last one, I think this is probably a much more likely player in that it does sound very good. I mean, this is someone... is a massive blind spot for me, actually, but... I think his previous film, The Worst Person in the World, wasn't that his previous film?
Yes.
Completing a trilogy of sorts, from what I've read, was very well regarded and seems to be in a real purple patch of his career. And the, you know, good cast. There is a trailer or a clip, I can't remember, but something I watched online and I thought, okay, this looks, I don't know, this looks like a well-made film. It could be good. And yeah, from the reviews I've read, I'm looking forward to watching this one. I mean, at least I know, even though it's a blind spot, I mean, I know this is a very talented filmmaker who's assembled a good cast. I'm looking forward to it quite a lot.
The clip that you saw, was it the one of Renata sort of like getting startled by the sudden appearance of someone outside and taking a vase and walking outside?
Yeah.
Just like, what is going on there? My read on that is that she has a filmmaker father. She's an actress, and he wrote a part for her, couldn't get funding. But then he has got funding and he's now filled the part with somebody else because they're a bit estranged. The IMDb very brief summary of it is it's an intimate exploration of family memories and the reconciliatory power of art, which sounds right up my alley. Oh gosh. That's, you know, all the reviews look fantastic. In terms of Oscar chances, this stands to be the biggest winner of the Cannes Film Festival in the long run. Obviously, it didn't win the Palme d'Or, but I think this is the one that people will remember from the festival. Rave reviews mixed with a director who has a steadily growing reputation, like you said. A recognizable cast for Western audiences. I think that's going to be a big deal when it comes to pushing for Oscars.
Yeah.
I think it'll be easier to push a film that has Stellan Skarsgård, Renata Reinsvier, and especially Elle Fanning compared to an Iranian cast and film. And this mix of comedy and drama that we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where, yeah, I'm keeping an eye on this one. It looks a shoo-in for international feature. I expect Norway will go with that one. But I wouldn't be shocked to see it take 4 or 5 nominations here. I'm looking at actress for Renata Reinsvier, who's had a lot of buzz in the last couple of years. Stellan Skarsgård, best supporting, looking likely. Picture, you know, at the moment, at the very early stages of this season, from what we've seen, you'd say that Sinners and Sentimental Value are like the front runners for best picture at the moment. So I'm you know, it has a confirmed release date of November in the US. That's just strengthens the case. Honestly, this looks like This looks like a real shake, like maybe Anatomy of a Fall level Oscars buzz, and I'm here for it. I'm so keen.
I think so. I think there could be a screenplay run for the Oscars. I think it could do very well at the BAFTAs, or maybe even more so. I feel like UK audiences will not. I mean, not, you know, blockbuster audiences, obviously, but the UK audiences who like these kind of films, I think, will probably like this one a lot. I think the kind of Nordic, you know, Northern European, slightly black humor, if it is present in this film, which I suspect it will be, a kind of, you know, combining family drama with black humor, I think that'll go down quite well with British audiences. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it doing very well at the BAFTAs. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of unknowns in this discussion, but I think with this one, it is more of a solid, like, oh yeah, this is going to be a player.
Yeah. By the way, with the BAFTAs, it's a UK co-production as well. So there's a little bit of like a nudge in that direction as well. The campaigning should be good to that audience. Let's go to the jury prizes, which were shared between two films. Sirat by Oliver Lax, who, that's a Spanish film, mostly with French production. What you'll find is with all these prizes, in the main in competition, they're all French productions or co-productions, except for one, which is Sound of Falling by Marsha Chelinsky. That's a German film. That's the only one that hasn't got any sort of French production involved, which is, you know, a little bit of Cannes.
It's Cannes, come on.
Let's be frank. Most of the in competition stuff was French in some capacity. Starting with Sirat, 82 Metascore. A story about a father with his son going looking for their missing daughter in North Africa, in Morocco, I believe. Looks tense. There's a trailer that I watched. It looks like it's going to be one of those movies that is just visually, like really tense. I've heard that it sort of falls apart a little bit in the second half, but it looks super tense. What did you take on this one?
I'm really looking forward to this one. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the kind of film that can't quite stick the landing. I mean, by its very nature, it's literally like, as we will probably see in the film, it's venturing out into the wide desert, the wide unknown. And I think a film like that will have to work very hard to pull off a third act, which is like narratively satisfying. But who knows what's got to come. But I'm really looking forward to its aesthetics. It's what I read, psychedelic rave score. It just sounds so up my street. I think I'm going to have a great time watching this. I'm going to do everything possible to try and see this on the big screen, because I want to see it on the big screen. I want to hear that like interesting electronic-y psychedelic score on the Dolby surround sound or whatever. And yeah, I saw that trailer as well, and I thought, this looks like it's got some interesting ideas. It's a bit of a journey film. I love a journey film. And it's in Spanish, so I get to practice my second language. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one.
Well, speaking of Spain, my instinct is that they will push for this to be in the international feature. This will be their nomination for it. So that means it has a chance. I'm just not confident it will, based on the fact that I have heard. Like, one of the reviews that I read was that it literally loses the plot halfway through. So I'm just like, ooh, that actually makes it more intriguing to me. Like, I want to see this even more. Yeah, geez, the trailer, it goes hard in the paint. So definitely keen to check that one out. I'm not what the distribution is going to be like, unfortunately. But with an 82 Metascore, with that trailer, with the jury prize, I am signed up. Let's see if we can get that on Real Talk.
Awesome.
The other one that won the jury prize is Sound of Falling, 91 Metascore. This is the German one I mentioned. So the German title is, interestingly, In die Sonne schauen, which basically translates to like look at the sun. So I don't know how that comes out as Sound of Falling. Anyway, 91 Metascore. It looks like a real one. Did you catch the trailer for this one?
Yeah. The thing I watched was more of a clip, and I don't think it really is made to sell it to audiences. I think some of the things I've read sell it a lot better, and it sounds like, you know, you're very European, perhaps awards targeting, thoughtful, slightly philosophical exploration of like life over generations, which sounds really interesting. But I'm on the fence from what I've read and seen so far. I'm not sure if this is going to excite me, but I'm keeping my mind very open to have this be a film I enjoy.
This one definitely excites me. So the premise is that it's set in this remote German farmhouse, and across four generations of people, different families, and it follows these four young women, four girls and women, who are not linked by anything other than the fact that they all have trauma, or they all have lived in this farmhouse, right? And to me, that sounds kind of like the Zemeckis film last year, Here, with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. Did you catch that one?
No, I didn't.
It was a really interesting idea. It was like the camera never moves. It just captures the corner of this house across like different generations. So you have Paul Bettany in there, you have Tom Hanks, you have all these different people, and they come and go, and they leave the room, they enter the room or whatever, and then like there's like a generation edit that just happens, and away it goes, and then it goes back to this generation, and then this one, and then this one. And it wasn't particularly well made, but it was a very interesting concept. This one, the camera moves. It's not like stuck stationary in one spot, but it seems like a very similar kind of concept. So if it's a well-made version of that concept, I'm in. I'm very in. I think it's going to be nominated for international. And it has probably a chance at director and cinematography from what I'm hearing. But I think the best chance is definitely international for Germany. So I'm excited. It sounds like I'm more excited than you. And I'm hoping that it does get an end of year release. It looks like it might do, potentially. So as Arwen wanders across the screen there. Hello, Arwen.
She has to make an appearance.
Next up is the film The Secret Agent, which won Best Director for Kleber Mendonça Filho. Now, that's a Portuguese name, so you probably have a better chance of pronouncing that one better than me. And also, it won Best Actor as well for Wagner Moura. So, The Secret Agent, 87 Metascore. Did you catch the clips for this one? Did it have any clips? I can't
remember. I've definitely seen a couple of clips. Yeah, and I'm really excited about this one, actually. Obviously, two awards, like, you know, in competition is no mean feat. So, that's something. And I'm a big fan of Wagner Moura. I mean, I was into Narcos when it was initially on, and he was in it, obviously, as Escobar for the, like, you know, obviously a Brazilian Portuguese speaker, did barely knew Spanish, but he took on the role of this Colombian drug lord and, to my ears at least, nailed it. And he was fantastic in that. And he was good in Civil War, Alex Garland's Civil War recently. He's a good actor, and it's going to be interesting to see him do something in his native Portuguese. And the film itself just looks, it looks really great. So I've read that it's shot in anamorphic Panavision. So it just looks like so colorful and wide and lovely. And a quote I've got here, a deliciously tropical take on the classic political thriller. So I think that's, it could be overselling it. I mean, it's political, it's Brazil. They could just be, that could be a lazy kind of combination of those two things. But from what I've seen as well, those clips and the way it looks and the fact that it's got two of these awards is very, very promising. And I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, me too. From a purely film point of view, from an Oscars point of view, the director and actor wins don't really translate from Cannes to Oscars very often. For an Oscars point of view, I'd be pretty comfortable saying this should be in the mix for international, especially on the back of I'm Still Here.
Yeah.
The film that got a Best Picture, Best Actress, Best International nom, and actually won Best International at the Oscars, beating Emilia Perez, which was a Cannes darling, by the way, Emilia Perez, if we don't forget that.
Or Jacques Audiard, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a French film, right? So this is one to keep an eye on, though. Like, as I said, it should be an international, but it wouldn't shock me. You know, actor looks stacked this year. You know, DiCaprio and Plemons and, you know, Timothy's going for it again. And, you know, Josh O'Connor's going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
And there's all these people in there, right? The guy from The Bear, can't think of his name right now. Playing Springsteen.
Yes.
Jeremy Allen White. Like, there are a lot of big names going for it this year. But if this one catches fire, a bit like I'm Still Here did, it's another 1970s film set in Brazil. Looks like it could be very political. Yeah, I sign me up. I'm excited about this one. Next is The Little Sister, which won Best Actress for Nadia Militi. This is her first film role, by the way. It has a 67 Metascore. This is a French film with German production, but definitely a French film. Do you have a read on this one?
I mean, mostly I'm looking forward to it. From the very little I've seen, I've already seen the spark of what might have won her Best Actress. She seems to, and again, I've seen very little, right? But from that impression, she seems to have like embedded into the role and really, really gone for it. We'll see just how we feel about that when we watch the movie. But yeah, I like this. It sounds like the kind of where the person's going to be in a personal battle, being tugged from, you know, from both sides, between like the old and the new, or the conservative and the progressive, and things like that. And I like that kind of drama if it's done right, you know, where someone's got inner conflict with who they are and what they should be doing and where they're going in life and where their morals are and their principles. It looks like it's going to be going to have a lot of dialogue. So if the screenplay is good, then it could be a really enjoyable drama. I think it's mostly in Paris. So Paris can be shot very well, has been many times over the years. It's promising.
Yeah, Paris. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I mean, this famously beautiful. This little place called Paris, you may know. One of the Queer Palm nominations as well. So I don't know why, but there must be something in there about that, which will add another interesting dimension. So I think this could be one of the, thinking optimistically, it could be one of the most enjoyable dramas, and it could be one of the most enjoyable performances as well. So I'm going to go into this really hopeful and optimistic.
The 67 Metascore is interesting because it's a fair bit lower than the other ones we've mentioned so far. But apparently, Nadia just knocks it out of the park. And for an unknown actor, that's a huge effort. The acting things from the Oscars don't really translate to the, from Cannes rather, don't translate to the Oscars. I can see a world where this doesn't get any Oscar nominations because it really just needs France to decide to go with it for the Oscars instead of it's just an accident. But that's the kind of batshit thing that France might do. So who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious to check this out. You're right about the whole, I love Paris. I love the idea of queer cinema and progressive versus conservative and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, sign me up for The Little Sister. I'd be keen to watch it. I'm not sure it'll get much distribution though.
So I'm worried about that.
Definitely have to be on to that one. Best screenplay, a Dardenne film, Jean-Pierre and Luc Dardenne. For young mothers, there are a couple of Belgian filmmakers. It's also a French co-production. Surprise, surprise. Gets an 80 Metascore. By the time it comes around and gets distribution, it looks like it might be called The Young Mother's Home. But it was called Young Mothers at Cannes. What's your take here?
I mean, I think it's like French title is Mejeune, right? So it should be Young Mothers. I don't know what the English on distribution title will end up being, but just to clarify that. Look, I mean, I'm a sucker, you know, we both are, I think, for something that wins best screenplay at any major awards event. I think we're going to be a sucker for that, and we're going to be very interested in seeing it. I mean, these guys have got status. They've won 2 Palme d'Ors. So, you know, I haven't seen either of those Palme d'Or winning films, but they have a reputation. So there's a lot of promise here. I think the concept is one that is good for drama, but also good for awards. You know, there's going to be themes of young motherhood, but also obviously the men who were involved and now aren't involved. There'll be themes about young men as well, and probably class, and the welfare state. So I think a lot of these things are good for drama and good for awards. And it's won a screenplay award, and it's made by very good filmmakers. So I want to see this.
I do too. Yeah. For basically all the reasons you mentioned, the Dardennes are interesting filmmakers. They don't skip around heavy topics, which I am a big fan of. Like if there's a heavy topic to be talked about, they're going to tackle it head on, which I'm a fan of for sure. In terms of Oscar chances, there is a chance that it ends up in international because Belgium will almost certainly go for it. I just don't like its chances of beating the other films that are up for it, you know, including Sentimental Value or et cetera, et cetera. But Secret Agent, other films like that. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I'd still watch it though. And, you know, if it does catch fire, yeah, we'll keep an eye out for screenplay, I suppose, as well. Looking forward to it more as a film fan than as an Oscar player. I don't think it's going to be a big Oscar player. The last of the big awards is the Prix Special, which was won by Resurrection by Big Garn. This is a French co-production of a Chinese film. Has a Metascore of 82. And I'm sneaky very into the idea of this film, Sam. This looks like a hoot to me. How do you feel?
I'm not so sneaky into the idea of this film. I am like fully out there into the idea of this film. I mean, I'll just read from the Letterboxd article I was looking at. at one point, just this little extract about it. Spans the entire history of cinema and then some, drifting between surreal dreams and gritty cityscapes. Divided into six parts, it begins as a fantastical silent picture straight out of a Georges Méliès before jumping through decades. It transforms into a noir, then a plucky con man caper, culminating in a moonlit vampire romance shot in a stunning 30-minute oneer. Yes, please. Here's my money. Give me my ticket.
100%. This was the part, and again, to remind the audience, we were not at Cannes. We have not seen these films. So we're relying on the people that were there and did see it. And the people that I trust were like, yeah, like sentimental value, Sound of Falling, you know, great films. Absolutely. This is the one. This is the one. Like, basically, the idea is that in a world where people cannot dream, a woman falls into a lack of consciousness and then therefore like an eternal time zone during a surgical procedure. And she comes across this like an AI or like some sort of bot or something that is able to dream, but he's like a monster. And it's a whole thing. And as you say, it sort of goes through the history of film in terms of style, and all the different six parts have like a different style. And Oh gosh, God, yeah. All right, be gone. All right, be gone to my money. Like, see you later. That is something. And as for Oscar chances, I mean, from what I've heard, it's a chance in international feature, director, cinematography, score. These are all great elements of it, apparently. It really needs that RRR style of momentum, I think. Like, RRR caught the imagination. It was sort of one of those, it got best original song at the Oscars, RRR, but it was in the mix for picture and would have got in the international feature mix if India had chosen it. And I hope that China do choose this film, and I hope that it catches a bit of that momentum, like enough people see it, enough people start raving about it, and before you know it, everyone wants to see it. At this moment, I'm predicting zero nominations, but I hope that I'm wrong. I hope it's more like three or four, and I hope I love this film, because I think I will.
I'll go ahead and predict a cinematography nomination, because from what I've seen, I think it's going to do some really cool visual stuff. I think it has got those parts, and it's whether it can gel some of the parts together, the parts together visually, I guess. I mean, I've seen some images which like got a slightly kind of green, kind of in the mood for love quality. And then, you know, that shows promise, but it's got to make something cohesive at the end of the day to win an award. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to like it. How much we'll see, how well it does at the awards, we'll see.
Yeah. And to speak to cinematography, I mean, you know, yes, you're right. It looks amazing. But here's a list of some films that I've got in the mix for cinematography already. Sinners, Frankenstein. We haven't seen Frankenstein yet, but it's Guillermo del Toro,
yeah.
Begonia apparently is going to be a bit of a hoot. Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Hamnet, F1, the movie, Avatar. You know, all these movies are coming out in the same year, so it will be a stacked category. But who knows? If it's good enough, it should be there. So hopefully it is. We're just going to take a short break. You might hear some commercials, you might not. It depends on your algorithm, but we will be back really soon. And we're back. The rest of the in-competition films, I think we'll sort of roll through these fairly quickly. Starting off with Alpha, this is a film by Julia Ducournau. She's the director of Titan. That's what she's most famously made in the past. Bit of a Cannes darling. This one got absolutely slammed by the critics. The critics hated it. Alpha. So the trailer looked kind of interesting, I thought, about a girl who's a bit troubled. She comes home. The mother notices a tattoo and it changes their lives forever. I don't know. That's an interesting concept, but yeah. Can't say I'm super excited about Alpha. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be open-minded. The trailer's is much more of a teaser, isn't it? It's teasing the style of the film, I guess, more than anything else. But that could be a mislead, an intentional mislead as well. I think there's potential there if I'm thinking optimistically. I mean, like, obviously, the director's got a good past. Taha Rahim's in it, from most famously from A Prophet. Mm-hmm. He's a really great actor. So, mm-hmm. well, yeah, I'll try and check it out. But I don't, from what I've heard, I don't think this will be troubling the Oscars nominations.
No, almost certainly not. Another French film, Case 137, directed by Dominique Moll. This is a film, you know, Stephanie is an investigator that investigates the police, essentially. And it's Case 137 is just something a little bit more than the average case. There's an unexpected element, has a Metascore of 73, stars Lea Drucker. I don't know. Looks kind of interesting. Probably in competition for a reason. Don't have a lot to say about this one, though. What about you?
Yeah, there's not a lot to say, is it? It looks like a fairly standard crime drama. If it can channel kind of previous Cannes darling dramas, I don't know, things like Anatomy of a Fall in the kind of way it tells a story. Even something like Decision to Leave, I guess, that kind of investigative investigative story, but with its own DNA, then there could be something in it. It did get selected for competition, but seems pretty standard from what I can see.
Yeah, I think so. The next one I am very interested in, Sam. This is Lynn Ramsey's Die, My Love, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Robert Pattinson, Nick Nolte, Sissy Spacek, Lakeith Stanfield. Metascore of 75 is warm, but not hot. This one was not in competition until it was. It was like a late inclusion into the in-competition mix. I think, like, basically people sort of pushed it in there because it's Lynn Ramsey. I'm excited about it because I want to see Jennifer Lawrence doing something interesting again. I haven't seen that for a long time. So I'm keen to see her sort of stretch her muscles a little bit, you know what I mean? But dark comedy, thriller, mother struggles to maintain her sanity as she battles with psychosis. Sign me up. Sounds pretty good to me. What about you?
Sounds really good, doesn't it? I mean, not much needs to be said about Lynn Ramsey. Jennifer Lawrence and Robert Pattinson, interesting two actors who have gone from doing big, like, teen-facing franchises at young ages and then for a lot of the time gone and done pretty interesting roles, Robert Pattinson especially. It's interesting that maybe the last kind of really interesting role that Jennifer Lawrence did was Mother, and there's some parallels here, so that's quite an interesting aspect. I've seen a couple of comparisons with A Woman Under the Influence, so that's another interesting thing at work here. And I think from the small bit of clips and stuff I've seen, I think it just looks like someone as talented as Lynn Ramsey putting her, you know, using all her talents. It looks like it's going to be a really accomplished piece of work, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, me too. Next up is Eagles of the Republic, directed by Tarek Saleh. It's a Swedish film with French, Denmark, and Finnish influences. It's about an Egyptian actor, George Fahmy, most adored Egyptian actor. He falls into disgrace and on the verge of losing everything, is forced to accept an offer he can't refuse. Sounds a bit Godfather-ish in that sense. 76 Metascore, so very, very solid. It doesn't scream the kind of film we're going to see because distribution is going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, that sounds kind of interesting. Political drama, thriller could be good, but I'm not super excited.
Yeah, I'm not super excited. I'll be hoping for I can see this coming on a streaming platform and, you know, and I do hope I get to see it. But yeah, there's a lot of films above this in terms of excitement levels.
Here's one for you. Eddington by Ari Aster. Now, Ari Aster has a bit of reputation. It's an American film starring Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Pedro Pascal's in there. Austin Butler sneaks in there as well. Yeah. 2.5 hour, R-rated, 64 Metascore. I had heard it was underwhelming compared to what I was expecting. But we are definitely going to see a release of this movie. It is going to be in cinemas. So it will almost certainly be something that you guys will cover at Real Talk. So what's your vibe?
I'm holding out for, you know, my excitement. I even though there's been mixed reviews, I'm still going to get excited for this one. I love Ari Aster to bits. And I think there's some great, I mean, Pedro Pascal, just legend. And he looks like he's going to be amazing as ever in this film. And, you know, it's the trailer promises, you know, that like a truly modern Western. And I'm curious to see what that's all about, because it's clearly going to involve a lot of US politics as well, or at least social commentary of the situation in some capacity over there. I see a bit of Hell or High Water. I see a bit of Three Billboards, maybe. Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, of course. So I'm going to be optimistic. Yeah, and I know he's a filmmaker I get on with. So, yeah, I'm gonna look forward to it.
That's the thing about Ari Aster. That Metascore in the 60s is not hot. But he's also a divisive filmmaker. You know, he's the kind of person that will piss people off. But if you vibe with him, then you're going to have a great time. I think of Beau Is Afraid, which I didn't catch, and I'm sure you probably did if you're a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Ian called it one of the greatest films of that year because he just vibes with Ari Aster. So, you and Ian are going to be lining up to see this movie and might enjoy it more than me, but I didn't even see Beau Is Afraid. I was too afraid, as it turns out. Anyway, next film is Fiori. It's an Italian film by Mario Martoni. Stars Valeria Galino, who you would recognize as the mother character in Portrait of a Lady on Fire. She's also the girlfriend in Rain Man. You know, like I just you see her pop up every now and then in these movies. This one, according to the reviews, is a stinker. 47 Metascore. A writer ends up in prison for a crazy and unexpected act where she meets some young inmates. Once out, they maintain a friendship, an authentic bond that no one will be able to understand. And I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds fine. But yeah, the Metascore is scaring me off here. I don't think we're going to see this one get a huge release in Western countries. And I'm not that excited about it. What about you?
I'm a little excited about it. I mean, I'm not that optimistic of its chances of getting a big release, but I'd like to see it. I mean, it looks like it's shot in a really nice kind of pastel, late 1970s kind of aesthetic, and that would be kind of nice. I think it's got the potential to be funny, but also deep. So, it's a bit concerning that it's got such a low Metascore, but I'll try and see it because I think there's going to be elements I'll enjoy.
Well, you report back, okay? Because I won't be. The next film is The History of Sound. This is one of the ones that I was really excited about before the festival, so I'm keen to check it out. It stars Paul Mescal, Josh O'Connor, and Chris Cooper, very reliable actors all. Directed by Oliver Hermanis. It's got a Metascore of 62, though. Clocks in at just over 2 hours. I don't know. Like, there's a bunch of it that doesn't seem to work in the sense of it might be a bit dry or something for some people is the vibe that I'm getting. But I don't know. The chance to see Mescal and O'Connor opposite each other is just interesting to me. So I'd be very keen to check this one out.
Yeah, I'm not getting a lot from what I'm reading or what I'm seeing. I can't seem to get a feel for what this film is. But Paul Mescal and Josh O'Connor, that's pretty awesome. So I'd like to give it a chance just to see what those two, what chops they can put on display in the movie.
Yeah, 100%. Another one that I'm excited about, The Mastermind by Kelly Reichardt. Now, this is a co-production of the US and the UK, but mostly a US film. Speaking of Josh O'Connor, he's back. He's in there. He's in this one. Also, John Margaro, who was the husband in Past Lives, a bit of a Kelly Reichardt legend. He was in First Cow, one of her previous films. This one looks interesting. An art gallery museum robbery in 1970. The clip that I saw, which you may have seen as well, is of Josh O'Connor stealing like a little figurine from a museum and using his family to do it. Metascore of 79 is good, but not great. I don't know. This looks like it might be my speed. What about you?
I think this one could go either way for me. I'll be keeping my eye on it. I'll be trying to, without getting spoiled too much, I'll be trying to read what people are feeling and see how much that drives me to strive to watch it. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, definitely. Like Kelly Reichardt, and like she's a bit on like the slow side sometimes with her movies. So they take their time. They're very patient things, but. I really enjoyed First Cow, another one that Ian Buckley really loved. The next film is Nouvelle Vague, the Richard Linklater French film, which reenacts the production of Jean-Luc Godard's Breathless with Zoe Deutsch in there, among other people. Metascore of 71. Looks fantastic in terms of the photography of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Breathless. I love Richard Linklater. We've spoken about Linklater recently on my show Movieversaries for Before Sunrise. Great filmmaker, very versatile. And Nouvelle Vague, which translates as New Wave, the French New Wave. That signed me up. Holy crap.
Yeah, this does look stunning. I think, and it looks fun as well. And I think that's that's kind of all I need to be in. It's Linklater as well. So that's those three things really are all I need to be in. And I think... Obviously, it's fascinating time. Breathless, Godard, Truffaut is portrayed in it as well. It's going to be interesting. I read that the guy playing Godard hasn't acted in a feature before, so it's his first feature, Guillaume Marbeck. So that's interesting that a filmmaker like Linklater has gone and made that choice. It's a French production as well. I think it's all going to be French language. I hope it is anyway. It really should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be really good. I'm just really looking forward to it.
One that I am looking forward to is actually out in cinemas. I just haven't had the chance to see it over here in Australia. I think it is probably for you as well. The Phoenician Scheme, the new Wes Anderson film. Have you caught that one?
I haven't yet. Things have been a bit crazy in my life for the last couple of weeks, so we haven't got to the cinema. But I love Wes Anderson, and he's my wife's favourite filmmaker. So we're absolutely itching to go and see this one. And I've seen mixed reviews, different things, but I never don't enjoy a Wes Anderson film, and. Yeah, I'll go see this very soon.
This one has Benicio at the front as well, which for me is a big tick.
Yeah.
I love Benicio del Toro. He's one of my faves. I don't know much about it. I don't need to. You know, it's Wes Anderson. I'm in. Like you, I've never hated one of his movies. Even the ones that people like less, like The French Dispatch. I loved The French Dispatch.
Oh, it's great.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like one of my faves of the year, like top 10 kind of territory. Same for Asteroid City, which I saw in Paris, which was a nice memory for me. So there's a bit going on in our life over here as well, which has stopped us from seeing it as well. But Alex will be away this weekend going to visit her parents out of town. So she has given me her blessing to go and watch this one as the films pile up in the cinema. So... I can't watch The Materialist without her, but I can.
That's fair.
So I will take her up on that offer. I will go watch it this weekend if I can. Next film is Renoir, a Chi Hayakawa film. So this is a mostly Japanese film. It's got a co-production from France, but also a bunch of Indo-Pacific nations, I guess Asia-Pacific nations. Any read on this one?
I mean, it's Japanese, so that's in me instantly interested. I think it's, with it being a bit of, it seems to be a bit of a kind of coming of age family drama, but also some, from what I've read, like some fantastical element. I don't know if it's going to be more on the like psychological drama side or they're going to have more fun with it. I'm hoping for the kind of the latter, for a bit more fun and even a bit of magical realism, maybe. And yeah, I'm hoping, I guess, for a, you know, a bit of Koreeda kind of style as well, in how they do the whole coming of age and playing with reality and drama a little bit. That's what I'm hoping for from this film.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? It's got a Metascore of 73, which is fine, you know. I love the Japanese style of cinema as well. Yeah. You know, patient and exacting, and it's set in that late 80s, so could be interestingly photographed. Yeah, I think it'll be good. Like, I think that'll be good. Distribution could be weird, but we'll try our best. The next film is a Spanish film, Romeria, by Carla Simón. You're a Spanish legend, so I'm sure you would love this. Metascore of 75. This one I have got my eye on, but the teaser trailer kind of shot me in the head a bit. Like I was like, oh wow, this looks right up my street. What about you?
Yeah, very interested. I was introduced to the concept of a romería when I moved to Costa Rica, and they told me, yeah, it's kind of one happens in Costa Rica on an annual basis, where they, obviously the people who partake in it, they do a little pilgrimage to a holy shrine or chapel, often to kind of a saint or the Virgin Mary. It's going to be a pilgrimage of sorts for the main character in this film, although it seems to be more kind of family history than anything else. And again, like a character going on a journey, I think it seems to be shot in quite a cool way. Seems to have quite a lot of character from what I've seen. So yeah, gonna look forward to this one.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you for giving me the correct pronunciation there. So I'll roll Maria.
Romeria.
Okay, I can't get those rolling R's. I just can't do it.
Oh, it's tough. It takes practice.
It's better. It's better than Romeria. Romeria. I think I said or something. I don't know. Whatever. The next film I'm very curious about, Zwei Staatsanwälte, which is Two Prosecutors. It's technically a Latvian film, but it looks like it's in the German language. As a garbage truck arrives, I think my microphone won't pick it up too much, but if it does, hello, garbage truck. Anyway, 1937, a prisoner's letter escapes destruction, idealistic prosecutor uncovers corruption because of it, and his pursuit of justice in Stalin's USSR becomes a dangerous journey into the heart of a system devouring its own. Metascore of 85. Looks up my street. I reckon I'm going to like this. What about you?
It promises to be one of the tensest thrillers of these films. In 1937, Stalin, Soviet Union. And even the clip I saw was tense. So, yeah, I think it'll be a really good thriller, I'm hoping.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping an eye on that one. Hopefully it gets good distribution. And finally, for the in-competition films, Woman and Child by Saeed Rustavi. This is another Iranian film with French and German distribution, Metascore of 64, so a lot less than the Palme d'Or winning It Was Just an Accident by Panahi. Single mother Manhaz balances nursing work with raising her children. As she plans her wedding to Hamid, her son's school expulsion becomes the least of her worries when an unexpected tragedy forces her to fight for what's right. Sounds interesting. I'm not sure if we'll be able to see it very easily, but yeah, sounds interesting.
Yeah, I don't think this will be easy to see, like you just said. And another film I'm struggling to get a read on, you know, picking up something to really what this film's about and stuff. But it's a well-regarded filmmaker by all accounts. So I'll see it if I can.
That's it for the in-competition stuff. Let's go to Uncertain Regard. We're not going to go through all of the films here, but were there any in this that caught your eye?
I mean, it's obviously the prize winners, something to look at. I mean, the main Uncertain Regard prize winner was The Mysterious Gaze of the Flamingo. Lots to interest me here. So it's in Chile, so more Spanish language. another Queer Palm nominee, which mm-hmm. The reason being a lot more clear with this one, to read the little blurb. As an unknown disease begins to spread in a small mining town in the Chilean desert, gay men are accused of transmitting it through their eyes. So, I think there's going to be...
In 1984.
There's going to be a lot of, obviously, you know, queer
AIDS
commentary.
AIDS pandemic kind of stuff.
AIDS pandemic, class commentary, I imagine. An interesting place at an interesting time as well. It's not that long after Pinochet in Chile. So, yeah, that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to take it in turns or you want to for these films.
No, you keep going.
I mean, obviously, Kristen Stewart's directing debut is getting a lot of good talk. A film a few years in the making. This is The Chronology of Water for the listeners. It's an adaptation of a memoir of a swimmer, I think.
Yes, Olympic swimmer.
Yeah, and it's getting a lot
hopeful.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of good talk for being quite brave and experimental in how she's made this. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just a fantastic actor and she seems to be a fantastic artist. And it was not surprising me too much to hear that. The first film she's made is going to be really interesting. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not just like picking out. I'm very wary of just picking out a kind of American film, you know, by a big name kind of star. But it's more the some of the things that are being said about it that seem like, no, this is a promising artist actually doing something interesting.
100%, because the example of that would be Eleanor the Great, the Scarlett Johansson film.
Yeah.
Which has not been getting good reviews. It's got June Squibb. Yeah, she's fantastic, June Squibb. But that would be an example of what you're talking about, just picking out the American ones with the recognizable names.
The screenplay winner here, Pillion, seems interesting, mm-hmm. Described as an exploration of sub-dom relationships and also a gay fever dream. So that could be... very interesting.
With Alexander Skarsgård, too.
Yeah.
That was also on my radar. 85 Metascore. Critics are loving 85. It. Less than 2 hours. Yeah, that's... looks really, really good.
It does. It does. Urchin. So, This is the best performance here in this uncertain regard, Frank... Dylan, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but seems to be a bit of like I, Daniel Blake in this one, about a rough sleeper. It's not documentary, but neither was I, Daniel Blake really, but it seems like it's got a bit of that DNA in it. I think that could be good, and obviously it's got a performance award.
Harris Dickinson behind the camera as well.
Yeah. Those are the main ones I'd pick out probably from the Uncertain Regard.
Yeah, that's the three that I picked out were Chronology of Water, Pillion, and Urchin. So there you go. I was being the bare basic English speaking person. What about out of competition? There's a bunch of films that were there. I'll start us off with this one. Highest to Lowest, Spike Lee. This is an adaptation of High and Low, the Akira Kurosawa masterpiece. He has a bunch of them, but that's one of his masterpieces. But it has a Metascore of 76. It stars Denzel Washington, Jeffrey Wright, ASAP Rocky, among others, who plays a character called Young Felon.
Great.
The teaser trailer is so different tonally to the... Have you seen the Kurosawa original?
Yeah.
The trailer seems so different to me. Like, it's just like, is this the same movie? Like, what's going on here? And it's not the same movie, but it's definitely an African-American adaptation of it, being a Spike Lee joint. But I don't know, man. Like, this looks like it could be a bunch of fun. So, I'm curious at minimum.
Yeah, it's got mixed reviews so far, I think. But it looks like such a lot of fun, like most of his films are, so... I'm going to get excited again. I'm going to be optimistic. And just Spike Lee takes on Kurosawa. I mean, come on, that's just fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have, writing credits with Akira Kurosawa and Hideo Oguni, directed by Spike Lee, starring Denzel Washington and Jeffrey Wright, you're just like, and ASAP Rocky? You're just like, what? That's crazy. So I'm very excited about that one. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning was also out of competition, shown at Cannes. That has been released wide, basically the day after its release at Cannes. And I was pretty underwhelmed by that one. That's an unpopular opinion. I've always consistently been under the consensus on Mission Impossible movies. So people are like, oh, Fallout's one of the great action movies ever. And I'm like, it was a good movie. I liked that movie a lot. Like, you know, just, I'm always a step down, right? Dead Reckoning, I was a step down. Final Reckoning, I'm a step down. I don't know. There's just something about these movies that I like, but I always feel below the consensus. I don't know how that works, but, and I'm above the consensus on Mission Impossible 2. Go figure. So, I didn't love that one. Yeah, I assume you've covered it, have you not?
Yeah. So go back and anyone listen to that was the most recent episode of Real Talk, actually. So yeah,
we'll hear your thoughts there. But yeah, you liked it, there. Didn't you?
Yeah, I liked it fine. I mean, I didn't really bother with the Mission Impossible films until a couple of months ago, and I thought, I'll watch them all. And to be fair, Fallout probably is the best one. But yeah, I can understand. Look, it's that kind of cinema, right? It's that kind of cinema that you know, if it's just not your, you appreciate, I mean, me and you appreciate films like Drive My Car, right? I mean, if that is your bag, then Mission Impossible is just going to be like, whatever, fly, spinny, kicky, explodey, good, but give me a Drive My Car or a Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So I get it.
I was in a bookstore the other day and I saw a bunch of Murakami books. And speaking of Drive My Car, and I'm just like, oh, do I buy Murakami? And then I'm like, I'm not going to read it. I'm not a reader. I don't know why I'm doing this. Anyway, the last one that caught my attention and out of competition was Honey, Don't, the Ethan Coen film. This was a midnight screening. Terrible reviews. Again, really not great reviews. Ethan Coen, people think of Coen and they go, oh, Ethan Coen, cool. But it's Joel Coen. He's the one you want to have on the director's chair. If both of them, that's fine. Ethan Coen has pumped out some stuff that's good and some stuff that's not that good. And this one might be a bunch of fun if you just go in there with low expectations, I think. But don't go in there with, like, No Country for Old Men, Fire.
No way.
Barton Fink, Blood Simple expectations. You know what I mean?
Not a chance. I think fun is probably not the best you can hope for. But I think just go in wanting to have fun, and you'll probably have fun, right? And then you might even think, you know what, that was a really good film, actually.
Yeah, it feels like it has like a 3.5-star ceiling for me. You know, it's like,
probably
if I have fun with it, that's probably where it's gonna be. You know, was there anything else in the out of competition that caught your eye before we head off?
I mean, there's Left-Handed Girl is quite interesting because Sean Baker is a co-writer on it. More of a secondary writer, I think it's very much Shi Ching Su's film, and shot on iPhone in the kind of Sean Baker, or previously Sean Baker's style. Well, it's something he's known to have done, so it's an interesting collaboration, but it's a film that's got promise on its own as well. Film called Lucky Lou, by Lloyd Lee Choi, described as updates bicycle thieves for the age of Uber Eats. So, as a big fan of the movie, the classic Bicycle Thieves, I'm interested to see kind of that's just a little snippet, right? But having read about the film, it does actually sound quite interesting as well. Mm. And a film called Nino, by Pauline Locke, or Locke. I don't know how to pronounce her name, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a French movie, so I always struggle with the French ones.
Yes, I don't think that S will be pronounced Locke. Pauline Locke, probably. So it's a kind of story about someone getting cancer, but it feels like more of a kind of little microcosm, like a little 3-day period. It's in another film in Paris. It sounds funny. It sounds charming. It's more about the character's got to do a thing at the beginning of the cancer journey. And during that task over a few days, they have a lot of interesting interactions with people. And that just seems like a nice kind of Paris, charming, dialogue-heavy kind of film that I'd enjoy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. And I guess the message here is that at any of these film festivals, you know, if you go to especially one of those big ones, you spend like days upon days upon days watching movies, and you probably watch like 5 a day for 2 weeks, and you're probably going to see 50 really good films, you know, like really well accomplished, well put together films. So there's a lot that comes out of the Cannes Film Festival. A great way to watch these movies I've found in the past is keep an eye out for any French film festivals or Spanish film festivals or whatever that might happen near you. I know that I get those in Brisbane, where you have like a month of just one cinema in town playing a bunch of French films, you know, and then you see all these movies that were like Uncertain Regard or something at the Cannes Film Festival. But failing that, yeah, it's very hard to see a lot of these movies. So I wish you well, my friend, catching, say, Nino, for example. That would be tricky. But yeah. But we'll do our best. That covers all the ones that I was really interested in as well. So I think we've done it, Sam. I think we've covered the Cannes Film Festival without even having to spend the thousands of quid to go there.
Yes, we've not seen a single movie, but we've covered it in some capacity.
We've seen Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
That's true.
So, we have seen the Cannes Film Festival film, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
Look how cultured we are.
Yes. Oh, wow. Tom Cruise, what a guy. You know, ignore the Scientology stuff. All right, Sam. People know us, obviously. If you're here as a Real Talk listener, we all know who you are. And if you're here as an Academy Watch listener, you know who I am. But why don't you tell the listeners who may not be familiar with your stuff about your stuff in about 30 seconds? There's a challenge for you.
If you're listening to Academy Watch, then just a little shout out to Real Talk. This is a special crossover episode. Our normal order of business is discussing what films are currently in the cinemas. We've got some good stuff coming up, some blockbusters and some other interesting stuff. Then there's the Den of 10 podcast, counting down top 10 lists. Things like top 10 80s alternative songs or the top 10 Harrison Ford films, like we did recently with Tony Black. And I'm also one of the three co-hosts of the One Rules Them All, Lord of the Rings and Tolkien podcast, if you like that kind of thing. And you can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, Instagram, Threads at SamwellPV, SamwellPV. And I think that was about 30 seconds.
That was about 30 seconds. You did very well, considering you do a lot more than me in the podcasting world. I basically have to advertise Academy Watch for any Real Talk listeners here, given it is a crossover episode. That's where we mostly focus during the award season, which is between, say, December and March, usually, about what's going to win the Oscars primarily, and just covering those films that are Oscars relevant in more depth and detail. And then I also host Movieversaries with Ian Buckley, Andy Williams, and Violet Hammond, and we talk about significant films on a significant anniversary. Very recently, Sam was involved in our Before Sunrise episode, which is 30 years old this year. So that's me covered, and my links will be in my link tree in the show notes. Sam, I hope you enjoyed the show. Did you have fun?
I had a great time. Yeah, I mean, it's like, obviously, we get bombarded by all the blockbuster trailers, but it's nice to have an opportunity to get excited about some of the more critics-facing, drama-y, awards baiting kind of artsy cinema, right? It's good to get excited about that. I hope we can see the majority of the films you talked about. Yeah, but I had a great time. Thanks, Bo.
I also had a great time. And thanks for joining me, obviously. Thanks for suggesting it. In fact, that was a great idea. And thanks to all the listeners of both of our shows. on this special crossover episode about the films for the Cannes Film Festival. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, do please subscribe to both of our shows so you can keep up with the latest Oscars news and all the latest films as well. Check out the show notes for the links to our stuff that we just mentioned, as well as a link to the Discord. We have a community of podcasters and listeners who talk about movies pretty much all the time, not even mentioning other topics. So there's lots to talk about in the Discord. You can find the channel for each individual show, and it's completely free. So please do jump on board. Link is in the show notes. Thanks for joining us. See you next time. Bye.